Thanks, guys. Good morning. Yeah, I'm Clint. I work here. Do other stuff, too. I've been here on staff for about 6 years. And if you don't recognize me, it's probably because I recently lost some weight around my head. I had the long hair going on, and I really loved my long, luscious locks. But my wife, like, she would never tell me to cut my hair. She would never do that. But she did start showing me, like, all the pictures from when I was in the Army and my short haircut. I was like, oh, look at how good that guy looked. So it was time. It was time. But anyway, today we're going to talk all about influence and how in the world we can use our influence to be influential, right? So if you Google influence, like I did, the definition that comes up is the capacity to have an effect on the character, development, or behavior of someone or something, or the effect itself. So in essence, influence is the ability to affect something, to change a person, to change an outcome, to affect things, right? So we can use our influence lots of different ways, because influence is a tool. It's a tool that everybody has. If you are the president of a company, you are influencing not only all of your employees, but also the direction of your company, right? If you're a parent speaking into your children's lives, you're influencing the people that they're going to grow up to be. And if you have friends, I really hope that you do have friends, you are influencing your friends, and your friends are influencing you. But at the end of the day, we're always just influencing ourselves. We're always leading ourselves. We're always making our own decisions about how we're going to act in the world, how we're going to respond. But influence, it's a tool, and we get to choose how we use that tool. We can choose to use it to build people up or to tear people down. We can use it to come alongside of somebody and help them achieve their goals, or we can use it to manipulate people to achieve our goals. Today, we're going to look at what happens when we let the Holy Spirit influence us. And then how, when we let the Holy Spirit influence us, how he uses our influence in all walks of our life to draw people closer to him, to introduce people to Jesus, to see people's lives radically changed by using our influence. So I had a really good, really close friend of mine who recently was given the opportunity to speak in front of millions and millions of people. And he used his influence to point people towards Jesus. This friend, maybe you've heard of him, his name is Chris Pratt. Now, you may remember Chris as the fat, chubby guy from Parks and Rec. You may remember Chris as the sexy outlaw hero from Guardians of the Galaxy. But Chris Pratt, he's one of my favorite actors, and he recently won an MTV award. They call it the Generational Award. It's a Lifetime Achievement Award for Outstanding Performance. So during his acceptance speech, here are some of the things that Chris said. He says, God is real. God loves you. God wants the best for you. Believe that, I do. He says, learn to pray. It's easy and it's so good for your soul. And then at the very end of his speech, this is what he finishes with. He says, nobody is perfect. People will tell you that you are perfect just the way that you are, where you're not. You are imperfect. You will always be. But there's a powerful force that designed you that way. And if you are willing to accept that, you will have grace. And grace is a gift. Like the freedom that we enjoy in this country, that grace was paid for with somebody else's blood. Don't forget that. Don't take that for granted. Now that's powerful stuff. Chris, he stood up on that stage with all those people there at that award show, with, you know, the guys from YouTube filming in the back, all that stuff, and he shared the gospel. That's powerful. That's powerful. Chris was living out what Jesus says in Acts 1:8. Where he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So Chris, he used his influence in that moment to be a witness, to talk about Jesus, to bring people closer. And we can too. So that's what we're going to look at today, how we can partner with the Holy Spirit and how his power can flow through us and through our influence so that when we're talking to our friends, our family, our neighbors, our coworkers, and even strangers, our influence can draw them closer to Jesus. So today we're going to be in Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 12. But since we're talking about the Holy Spirit, why don't we just pray and ask God to bless our time today. So Holy Spirit, we do. We just welcome you here even more right now. And Father, we thank you that you love us, that you speak to us every day, that you influence us. Father, I pray that you would show each and every one of us how we can partner with you and how you can use our influence to change people's lives and change the world. In your holy name, amen. All right, so feel free, take out your phones, pull up your Bible apps. There's Bibles in the chair backs in front of you if you want to follow along. But I'm going to read this verse, and it's a bit of a long one, so you know, strap yourselves in. All right, starting in verse 1. Now the church in Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manion, who was brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper. They traveled through the whole island until they came to Paphos. There they met a Jewish sorcerer and false prophet named Bar-Jesus, who was an attendant of the proconsul, Sergius Paulus. The proconsul, an intelligent man, sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for that is what his name means, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, "You are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You're going to be blind for a time, not even able to see the light of the sun." Immediately, mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about, seeking someone to lead him by the hand. When the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was amazed at the teaching about the Lord. Now, when I first looked at this verse, and I realized that I had to talk on it, I'm not going to lie, I didn't really want to. Confession time, I have never blinded a sorcerer. They don't really teach that in pastor school. I've been to tons and tons of conferences and workshops, and there has never once been a breakout session on how to blind an evil Jewish sorcerer. Never. So if that's what you're looking for today, I'll do my best, but you're probably not going to be able to leave here today knowing how to blind sorcerers. But the more I studied this verse, the more and more I realized that this is a verse all about influence and about how the Holy Spirit works through us to influence others and draw people closer to them. So if you look at the verse, there are like three references to the Holy Spirit. The first is when the Holy Spirit chooses Paul and Barnabas. The second is when the Holy Spirit sends them on their way. And then the third is when the Holy Spirit empowers Paul to not only talk about God, but demonstrate that Jesus is real through the action of, you know, blinding that sorcerer. So he chooses, he sends, and he empowers us. So that's what we're going to look at today. So let's start with the first one, that the Holy Spirit chooses people. Now, if you look at the verse, there's a whole bunch of names of people who were members of this church in Antioch. You've got Barnabas, who was a Jewish guy. You got Simeon, who was most likely a black man. You have Lucius, which is a really fun name to say. He was a Roman. And then you got this guy named Manion, who grew up next to the prince at court. And then you have everybody's favorite little rascal, this guy named Paul, who is a Pharisee. Now, you might be asking yourself, you might be saying, "Clint, why is this important?" And I would thank you for asking that question. It's important because in the kingdom of God, everybody gets to play. The church is meant to be the most diverse melting pot in the entire world. It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman, if you're young, if you're old, if you're black, white, yellow, purple. It doesn't matter. God loves you. God is for you. And God wants you to be part of the church community. The church can be your family. There's nobody that's excluded from that. Everybody gets to play. And God has specific things that he wants everybody to put their influence towards, specific ways that we're supposed to play in the kingdom. So this verse goes on to say that as these guys were praying and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart Barnabas and Saul for the work that I have for them. So when we're interacting with God, when we're worshiping, when we're fasting, when we're praying, we begin to hear God's voice for us. He begins to speak to us about what we're called to do, the way that he's built us, the way that he's made us. And this applies to us today just as much as it applies to them back now. Or back now? Back then. Anyway, so have you ever had this happen to you? Have you ever heard God talk to you about who you were, who you are, who you're meant to be? Now, I believe that God, he's talking to us every single day. And we just need to learn how to listen. So God, when he speaks to me, it's usually about little things, little everyday things. It's a little nudge, it's a little push. Talk to this person, pray for that person, call this old friend, say this to your wife. Whatever you do, don't say that thing to your wife. You know, important stuff, but little stuff. But there have been a couple times in my life when I've been at a real crossroads, when I didn't know where I was supposed to go or what I was supposed to do, and I really needed some direction. And one of those days was July 7th, 2016. Now, some of you will remember, on that day, there were 5 police officers that were killed and 9 more that were wounded in an ambush in Dallas, Texas. Now, this really hit home to me. I was an Army guy, and before I started attending and working at the Vineyard, I had been going to school for law enforcement. Like, that was the path I was on. I wanted to go be a cop. So when these brave men and women put themselves in harm's way, when they held that thin blue line so that when I go to sleep at night, I don't have to worry about what's out there, like, that hit home. And so I was really wrestling with what God had for me, how he wanted me to change the world. And I was thinking about resigning my position here, finishing up my schooling, and then trying to go into law enforcement, to serve my community that way, to work at making the community a better place by being out there on the streets and working with all sorts of different walks of people. And I was, you know, so looking at that. I was making phone calls. I had talked to our senior pastor, Michael, about what it would look like for me to step down. He was praying about it. I was praying about it. It was one of those things where I didn't really hear anything from God one way or the other, but I was pretty sure that this is what I wanted to do, so I was getting ready to do it. And then one day, I showed up a little bit early for work here, and it was about 10 minutes before my first meeting. And so I just decided to sit out in my truck outside right by the pizza oven out there and pray a little bit and just see if today was the day that God was going to speak to me. And he did. He spoke to me clearer than he's ever spoke to me before. And he showed me that the way that he built me, the work that he had for me, the way that he wanted me specifically to go change the world was by pouring into young people, by working with students, by showing them how to love and experience God, by teaching them that they're loved and cared for, that their voice matters, that they can go make a difference in the world, that they don't have to let all the negativity in the world corrupt who they are at their core. And that broke my heart. So I talked to Michael, told him that I was feeling this. We prayed about it. He ran me through the interview process, and I got hired on as a senior high youth pastor. And I've been doing this job for about 18 months now. And I'll tell you, it's been the most rewarding, most fulfilling, most difficult, challenging year and a half of my entire life. But when you're living into your calling, when you're doing what God has made you to do, that's how it works. And God's doing stuff in all of us. He's got specific things that he wants all of us to do. So what's that look like for you? If you feel called to work with teenagers, please let me know. There's a spot for you on my team. I would love to have that. But maybe he's calling you to be the best possible parent that you can be, to love your kids even when you want to choke them. It's a real thing, I know. Maybe he's asking you to always reach out to the unnoticed, to those who are hurting, to those who are broken. God is doing stuff in all of us. And if we spend the time to ask him what our calling is, he'll show us. And so if God's doing stuff in all of us, he's doing stuff in everybody everywhere. And another way that we can use our influence is when we see what God's doing in another person, to bless that. And we see that in this verse. We see that the community comes around Paul and Barnabas, sees what God's doing, blesses them, and then sends them out. Now, sometimes when we know what we're called to do, we want to skip this step. We don't want to let somebody hold us back. We don't want somebody to tell us, wait. Like, waiting can be really hard. Waiting can be really hard. But there's power. There's power when a community sends us, right? Because there's no such thing as a lone Christian. You can't just run out there and be an army of one, right? Did you know? So when I enlisted, that was the motto, army of one. And then they changed it to army strong because they had too many recruits that wouldn't be team players. They wouldn't be team players. And if you're going to be doing the hard stuff, like, you need a community backing you. You need people to bless you, to be there for you. And sometimes we need people to kick us out of the nest. Sometimes we know what we're supposed to do, but we need somebody that we love and respect to come alongside of us and say, yep, that's what you're for. Now go do it. And sometimes we really just can't do it on our own. We don't have the resources or the ability or the knowledge. And we need people to help us out. And a perfect example of this is your friend and mine, the $10 founding father himself, Mr. Alexander Hamilton. So if you don't know, Hamilton, he grew up on this small Caribbean island, and he had aspirations to leave the island, but he didn't know how. A hurricane came and just destroyed his town, and he wrote about it and sent a letter to his father. That letter was published in the local paper, and then the community read that letter, saw just the raw talent and power in young Alexander's life. They took up a collection, they gave it to him, and they sent him to America to get his education. And because those community members saw what was going on in Hamilton's life and took action and came alongside and blessed him, he went to like shape American history. So my challenge for all of us here today, twice this week, bless somebody. Bless somebody. When you see what God is doing in somebody, call it out. Say, hey, you're really good at this. Maybe that's what you were built for. No, here's the tricky part. Don't give false praise. Not everybody is good at everything. Not everybody, everybody doesn't always deserve to get a medal for everything. False praise can be super destructive. But when you see that, when you see what God is doing in somebody, call it out. Because it can make all the difference in the world in somebody's life. So we also see that the Holy Spirit, he sends people. In verse 4, it says that the two of them were sent on their way by the Holy Spirit. And then it's got this list of all these places that I've never been. See, the Holy Spirit, he's the main player in the book of Acts. He's got the bigger plan. And we might not know what that plan is. We might not know what the next steps are. But that's okay because he's in control. And it's the Holy Spirit's influence and power in people's lives that make things happen, that affect change. And another important thing in this verse is, like we talked about earlier, God didn't just send out one person. He sent out a team. He sent Barnabas and Paul, and then they brought John Mark with them. And it's so important in our life to have a team, to have people around us who can build us up, who can dust us off when things get tough. Because when you're doing the things that God has for you, it's not easy. It's not always going to be sunshine and puppies. Like, life's going to get really tough. You need people around you who can pour into you. And likewise, you need people that you can pour into, who you can love and encourage. So my question is, do you have a team? If you do, that's great. Celebrate your team. Treasure your team. Treasure your team. But if you don't, a good spot to find one is in our small groups. This is me using my influence to point you towards small groups. So if you don't have a small group, on your way out, I just encourage you to pick up a small group guide. Flip through it. Find a spot, or find a group that stands out to you, because there you're going to meet people who can love you, who can support you, who can be there for you when life gets hard. It's so important to have a team. It can really make all the difference. So we see that the Holy Spirit, if you look at the verse, he directs them to Cyprus. But why Cyprus? You see, there's always a purpose behind the plan. Now, if we look at the history, we know that the route that they followed was one of the big trade routes, one of the big communication routes of the Roman Empire. It had some key population centers along the way. But really, most importantly, it was Barnabas' hometown. Barney might have still had some connections there, old friends, ways that he could already use his influence. At the very least, he would have known the lay of the land. And so I like to think about, like, what if God asked you to go back to your hometown and do something crazy like plant a church? Like, would you do it? I know, I feel the tension here. Like, I grew up in Aiken, and I love it. People have been to Aiken, they're laughing. I love my hometown, but there's just a ton of mosquitoes, and I hate mosquitoes. The whole thing is just a big, low swamp. And I love my life in Duluth. I love my life in Duluth. But if God asked me to move back to my hometown, and if God convinced my wife for us to move back to my hometown, I would do it because I know God has a plan and a purpose. And his plan and purpose is so much better than the plan and purpose that we can come up with for our lives. We might not see the next step. We might not know the purpose behind the plan, but we can trust that if we're following the Holy Spirit's influence, he's got good things for us. And we had a couple of our pastors here, Chris and Nikki Sauter, they did this. They felt called to move back to their hometown of Carlton, and so they planted a church in Cloquet, and they knew that God wanted to build a really healthy vineyard church in Cloquet, Carlton, but they didn't really know all the details of that, but they stepped out anyway, and because they followed the leading of the Holy Spirit, like, really cool things are happening. For example, right when they planted, there was no food shelf. There was no food shelf in Cloquet. So they were approached by the Second Harvest Food Bank. They talked it through. Chris and Nikki reached out to some of their church leaders. Those church leaders gathered some volunteers. They reached out to other churches. It became this really cool ecumenical thing. And now, every single month, there's a mobile food pantry that feeds 250-plus families in Cloquet. Yeah, 250-plus families now have food that might not have had food before. That's crazy. That's crazy. The Holy Spirit, he uses people like us, people like you and me, to do the heavy lifting. No, he does the heavy lifting, but don't get scared. The Holy Spirit does most of the work, but he uses people like you and me to accomplish his plan and purpose. And it's this crazy Holy Spirit dance, right? So now before my wedding, I went and took a dance lesson. And you got to realize, like, I'm pretty much deaf in my left ear. I have no rhythm, no tone. When I dance, I kind of look like Elaine Benes from Seinfeld, if you remember her, just kind of doing my own thing on the floor. So this dance lesson was interesting, to say the least. I'm trying to count to four, and I'm stepping on Aaron's feet, and I'm getting frustrated. And I really have this thing where I hate looking like an idiot in front of a bunch of people. So we'll see how today goes. But I'm getting frustrated, right? And so the dance instructor, his name was Brian. It wasn't Brian Brinkert, but for the purposes of this story, you can picture Brian Brinkert if that helps. Brian comes up to me, and he says, "Here, Clint, let me show you. I'll lead, you follow." And so he grabs my hand, and he grabs my waist, and we start dancing. We start dancing all over the floor. And I'll tell you, turns out I'm pretty good at dancing. I don't want to brag, but in about 30 seconds, I went from Elaine Benes to John Travolta. So, yeah, we were just spinning all over the floor. He was dipping me. It was magical. But the thing is, when you're dancing with a pro, you just got to shuffle your feet. They'll tell you where to step, where to go. They'll lead you. That's the way the Holy Spirit works. All we do is shuffle our feet. And he points us where to go. He says, do this, don't do that. Your timing's off, come over here. If we lead him, if we let him lead us, if we let him show us where to use our influence, man, powerful things will happen. We can change the world. When we let the Holy Spirit lead us, and we're living out what it says in John 5:19, when Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. When we let the Holy Spirit lead us, we're able to see what God is doing in the world and in people around us. When we're tapped into the Holy Spirit, when we're letting him influence us, we'll see that person that's lonely. We'll see that person that's in pain. We'll see systems that aren't quite working where we can step in and make a difference. We'll be able to feed the hungry. We'll be able to give clothes to the poor. We'll be able to help the hopeless. And now the next part of this passage shows us really how this can work. See, the Holy Spirit, he empowers us. In verse 7, it says that the proconsul, he sent for Paul and Barnabas because he wanted to hear the word of God. This guy, he wanted to hear about Jesus. Now, some of us, I mean me, we wrestle with sharing with our faith because we have these two kind of competing ideas, right? On one hand, we've been taught that in polite society, there are just some things you don't talk about. You don't talk about religion. You don't talk about politics. You don't say the name of Jesus because you don't want to make people feel uncomfortable. You don't want to offend people. And if you really care for people, like you have this thing inside of you, maybe it's just me, maybe I'm weird, but I get nervous that if I say the wrong thing, I'm going to push people farther away from Jesus. Like I want to share my faith, but I have all these resistances. But on the other side, if you really know Jesus, if you've experienced his love and his grace and his mercy, and his influence is making a difference in your life, you want that for everybody that you meet. You want that for your friends, your family, your neighbors, your coworkers. So we have these two things that make it that are competing. And when we don't know where the other person is at in their faith, sometimes it feels really scary to take that risk and step out and talk spiritual stuff. But what we see in this verse is that before Paul and Barnabas even got into the room, God was already working in the proconsul's life. He was stirring stuff up. He was making that Roman government official curious about Jesus. And we can trust that God is working in every single person's life. Every single person we meet, God is doing stuff. So if God brings us into somebody's life, he's already working in them. We can trust that he's stirring the stuff up in them. This verse says God is always working people's life, and God is doing stuff in every single person. So sometimes we can see what God is doing. Sometimes it's really obvious, like this proconsul. He invites these guys there to talk about Jesus. It can be super obvious. I had a friend who was moving out to Colorado. He was an atheist. And let me just pause. If you're an atheist here today, this part isn't for you. You can do something else. This is for all my Christian friends who, when you hear that word atheist, you get that little, you know, that little nervous flutter in your heart. Like it makes you feel like, oh, is this person going to be mad at me? Here's the thing, guys. I've met lots of atheists throughout my life. Most of them aren't angry, immoral, terrible, horrible people. Some of the nicest, most wonderful, most generous people I've ever met in my life are atheists. Atheists are not the enemy. Atheists are our friends. And God is doing stuff in their hearts as well. Like my friend who is moving out to Colorado. We'll call him Seth because his name is Seth. So Seth moved out to Colorado. And he gets out there, and he starts having existential. He's having one of them existential crises, where he's questioning life and existence and all this stuff. And the first thing that Seth does when he's doubting his whole belief system is he calls me, and he calls another Christian friend of his, because he had seen the influence that God had in our lives. Seth had been my roommate when I first met Jesus, so he saw how God had changed my life, the influence that he had, and Seth was curious if God could do that in his life too. So he calls me, we chat, and I'm not going to lie, like, I don't know where Seth's at. You know, he didn't, like, all of a sudden flop down and whatever happens sometimes. I don't know if Seth is a Christian right now, but I know that he went from not believing in any sort of a higher power to thinking, yeah, there's probably something out there. That's growth. We can celebrate that because God's not done with Seth. And God's not done with all of your friends. Like the people that we write off sometimes, like, oh, that person will never change. The Holy Spirit is still influencing that person. The Holy Spirit is still influencing that person. All right, so sometimes It's super obvious. Like my buddy Seth calls me up, says, hey, I think God might be doing something in my life. Hey, Seth, you don't even believe in God. Well, he still might be doing something in my life. Sometimes it's super obvious. Oftentimes, it's not that obvious. Sometimes you don't know what God is doing in somebody's life. Sometimes you just have like an inkling or a nudge. You might perceive something, but you're not 100% sure. And in those moments, it can be really scary to step out and try to use your influence to bring people closer to Christ. But what we see in this verse is that in those really scary, intense moments, God's going to give us everything that we need. So if God brings somebody into your life, he's going to give you what you need to tear down the obstacles that are in their life that are between them and Jesus. So there are things in all of our lives that make us stumble, that trip us up, things that we crave, things that we desire, you know, emotions, past experiences. There's all this stuff that can get in the way of our relationship with God. But what we see here is that the Holy Spirit empowers us to help remove those obstacles. The passage, it says that Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit, and then he called out all that bad stuff, all those obstacles that barred Jesus was doing. And then the sorcerer, he became blind. When we see the things that aren't God, the things in this world that are truly evil, sometimes words aren't enough. Sometimes we need to take action. And when we partner with God, when we see what the Father is doing, when we let the Holy Spirit influence us and we step into those moments, he gives us the words that we need and the power that we need to tear down those obstacles. That's why here at the Vineyard, we pray for healings. That's why we cast out demons. That's why we work with our food shelf to end hunger. That's why we partner with the Women's Care Center, because we believe that every baby has a chance, deserves a chance at life. When we see evil and injustice in the world, we're called to act. We're called to speak light into the darkness, to bring God's presence and power, right? I got to pause for a minute because in this verse, Paul, he uses some really harsh language, right? He calls this guy, the sorcerer, a son of the devil, that he's evil, all this stuff. Paul gets real intense with this sorcerer. This verse does not give us permission to yell and scream at people that we disagree with all the time. So if you go home today, and if you sit down at your computer, and you pull up Facebook, and you go to your crazy uncle's wall, and post, hey, you are a child of the devil, and you're perverting justice because they disagree with you politically, and say, oh, Clint said it's okay, I will lose my job. I like my job. Please don't do that to me. Here's the thing. People aren't the enemy. People never are the enemy. So I had some friends from the church here who recently went down to the political President Trump rally. And now these friends, they're not political. They don't take a side. But what they do love is they love our community. And they want to see our community grow into the community that God wants it to be. So they went down to see kind of the political aspect of community. And they were standing in line, and they left because the amount of hate and animosity that was being thrown around on both sides broke their heart. It broke their heart. And all three of them went away and cried. That was not Jesus. That's not God's heart for our community. Yelling at strangers, calling them names, drowning out their voice, that's not what this verse is talking about. In his speech from the award ceremony that I talked about earlier, Chris Pratt said something that just really sums this up. He says, if you are strong, be a protector. If you are smart, be a humble influencer. Strength and intelligence can be weapons, so do not wield them against the weak. That makes you a bully. Be bigger than that. We're bigger than that. And here's another thing. When Paul says this stuff, he's not yelling at a stranger. Barnabas and Paul, they were invited by the proconsul to talk about Jesus. There was some relational equity there, right? They're in the same room. They're chatting about this stuff. And one thing to note, too, is I don't think that God blinded that sorcerer just for the proconsul's benefit. Because if you remember from earlier in the book of Acts, when Paul came to know Jesus, he got blinded on the road to Damascus. Sometimes we have to stumble around in the dark so we can recognize the light when we see it. And this gets really personal for me, because when I was stepping into leadership here at the Vineyard, there were some things about my life that weren't right, some areas of my life that I hadn't let God into. And when you are trying to influence people towards Jesus, when you're trying to say that this is the good and beautiful life that God has for you, you have to have integrity. Every area of your life has to look more and more like Jesus. And mine just wasn't. So one of the pastors here, Casey LaCour, a lot of you know her, she's like a second mother to me. She sat me down, and we talked about how I was living with my fiance. We talked about my personal life. And it was awkward. And it was hard, and it was painful. It was tough. But it was really good. I made the decision to move out, and it was a really hard year for me and Aaron. It was really hard. But you know what? Because of that, we both grew closer to Jesus. Casey had showed me how my actions, how my decisions were affecting my relationship with God, how they were hurting me, how they were hurting Aaron, how they were hurting her relationship with God, and how my unhealthy life choices were influencing all the people that were looking to me for leadership. So when we made that decision to step into what God had for us, to trust that what he says is our best, man, he showed up in powerful ways. And because we trusted him, because we let him influence our decisions, we've got a super cool marriage. Like, we have a ton of fun. We laugh, we joke. Our marriage is centered on Jesus. And what's really exciting is we're expecting our first child, January 1st. Thank you. We're hoping it comes end of December so that we can catch that tax break. But because Casey had the courage to challenge somebody that she loved, that child gets to be brought up in a home that has the foundation of Jesus. From day one, that child is going to know that you can trust God with every single area of your life. See, it's really easy to yell at a stranger that you don't know. It's really hard to talk with somebody that you love who's making these destructive decisions. That's what courage is. So where are you at right now? Maybe you need some courage. Maybe you have friends, family members, coworkers, people that you care about that are just in a bad spot. Maybe you need to sit down and use your influence to point them towards Jesus. Or maybe you're like me, and there are some areas of your life that you're just not letting God into. And maybe somebody has pointed those out to you. I can tell you what, it can be really hard to be humble. It can be hard to let somebody speak into your life. That can be a really hard pill to swallow. But sometimes the best medicine comes in really big pills. So where are you feeling the Holy Spirit's influence in your life? Where is he prompting you? How has he chosen you? Where is he sending you? And how is he empowering you to make a difference in the world? Where does he want you to speak light into darkness? Because this is how we're going to make a difference in the world. This is how we can be influential. We can let the Holy Spirit work in us and through us to point other people to Jesus, to change their lives. That's the invitation for all of us here right now. Let the Holy Spirit work through us to make the world perfect again. So why don't we stand up? We're going to move into a time of ministry. And this is just an opportunity for all of us to hear the voice of God, to hear the Holy Spirit and let him influence our lives. So if you're on the ministry team, I would love you to come up front here. Now the ministry team, this can be your team today. No matter what you're facing, these guys up here, they're for you, they love you, and they want to see God's best in your life. So if you have anything going on, feel free to come up and get some prayer. Now I've got, as I was praying, there were a couple specific things that I think God's doing. So I just want us to, we're going to spend the next couple minutes just praying together. So Holy Spirit, I just invite you to come even more right now. Yeah. God, let us feel your power and your presence in our lives. Father, I thank you that you have chosen each and every one of us. You have purpose for our lives. God, I just pray that you would speak to each and every person in the room right now about where you're sending them, where you're calling them to use their influence to make a difference. God, I just pray right now that you would empower all my friends here today to step into the fun stuff, the challenging stuff, the hard stuff. God, grant us the courage. Grant us the courage to speak light into darkness, to have hard conversations, to be that person that points others towards Jesus. So if any of these things are resonating with you, I feel like there are some of us who just don't feel chosen, don't feel loved. God wants to speak to that today. Or if you're doubting God's plan, if you don't know God's plan, if you don't know your purpose, come up here, let one of these folks pray for you. Let God speak to you in that. Or maybe you know what you're supposed to do, but you don't feel the presence and power of God. You don't feel like he's with you to go do it. Come up here and get some prayer. And then really, really specifically, as I was praying earlier this morning, I felt like there was somebody in this service that you just found out that you're a husband or wife, that they want a divorce. If that's you, God sees you, he's for you, he loves you, and he wants to help you pick the pieces back up. So if that's you, I would love it if you just came and got some prayer before you left today. So these guys behind me, they're going to continue to lead us in some worship. Feel free to stick around as long as you can. Worship God. Get some prayer. Grab a small group guide. Find your team. Thank you so much for coming to the Vineyard today.